But out of our weakness is His strength. Yeah. Well, folks, it's time to get busy. It's time to get busy. That's the title of my message this morning. It's time to get busy. And we're going to do a little jumping around in the Scriptures today, but I want us to begin with Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. One of the things that I have discovered, and I've also discovered it in my life, especially my pre-Christian years, is that there were times in my life when I wanted God to help me. Even when I wasn't a believer, I still knew that I needed somebody bigger than me to help me. And I would ask God to help me when I'd find myself in a bind. Has anybody ever done that before? And so we still do, don't we? We ask God to help us in our time of need. He is a very present help in time of need. And so that's a good thing. And the Lord wants us to ask. Amen? He wants us to seek. He wants us to knock. He wants us to call on Him. And that's okay. But one of the things that I've discovered, and sometimes working with people and counseling with people, and is that often people want God to help them out of their predicament, but they don't really want to surrender their lives. And I can usually sense when I began to direct them to the fact that you must surrender, completely surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. Amen. That people often will just divert away from that, and they'll put their focus on the symptoms, the problems that they're having. And I'll bring it again to this one thing. Unless you are willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, all you're going to do is put Band-Aids on your life. And you'll never really enjoy life that God intended you to enjoy. So, unless a person is willing to really come to that place of surrender, it's just going to be more of the same of asking God to help whenever you have a need. You're going to go to your, if you will, your divine sugar daddy and ask Him for handouts. Many of us, we just are constantly asking God for a handout, but I want you to hear this. But are we willing to lift our hand to engage in His work? We're asking God to give me, give me, give me, but are we willing to give back to God by lifting our hands and putting them on the plow, amen, and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to serve You now. Often we make deals with God where we say, Lord, if You do this for me, I'll do that for You. God's not asking for just your spare change. He's not asking just for your service. He wants you. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to walk with Him. When you walk with Him, then service is something that you do out of love and out of gratitude. Are you with me? It's not something, I have to serve the Lord because He told me to in the Bible. No, that's you're missing the heart of God. You're operating in legalism. You're operating from the cranial, from the law, you know, of what was written rather than the life behind the Word. Amen? Yes. He is the living Word. Yes. And so His Word should be precious to us. His Word should be something that delights us. The Lord said of His Father that, I delight to do Your will, O God. You know, it was His delight to do His Father's will. He delighted Himself in His Father. Do we delight ourselves in the Lord? It grieves me because I know from my own personal experience, until a person is ready to really give up, are you with me?
Yes.
And to commit themselves to the will of God, they're just going to continue in this cycle. And they'll never really get over it. And unfortunately, in some cases, people don't want to get over it because when they get over it, no longer are they the center of attention. There are some people who are needy and they're looking for fulfillment from people rather than Christ. And if we're trying to find our fulfillment from people, then often people will leave themselves in a place where they may come up 1,000 times or sit through 1,000 hours of counseling or whatever it might be and never really get over it. Because they don't really want to get over it because they are craving the attention that you are giving them. And they are looking to you to fill a void that only Christ can fill. God has so much, something so much far better than what man can offer you. You know, what we can do is give temporary comfort, and we should comfort one another. We should have a listening ear. Amen? But ultimately, it's Jesus Christ that people need to be directed to. Are you with me? If they're not learning how to go to Him for answers, then what will happen is they will become codependent on you. And you can't really help them. That's right, we're not the Savior. And sometimes, even if we're not careful, because of our own insecurities, we also want people to look to us as the solution. On the other flip side of that, to where I have to be needed by people in order to feel important. You're important because you're a child of God. You're a citizen of heaven. Your identity is a new creation, a brand new being in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. A child of God. So you're not going to find your completion or your fulfillment in what others may be able to do for you. Your completion is in Christ, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. We are complete in Christ. Out of that new place of identity in Him, then we can function and we can serve and bless others. Are you with me? But always with the intent that what you may experience through me in my life, whatever anointing God has given in my life, whatever gifts are in my life, for your benefit, it's always to point you somewhere. Amen? And it's not to me. And that goes for all of us. What you receive from God is never to draw the attention to you, but to Him. A sign points to something. A sign and a wonder, amen, points to Jesus Christ. But if we put ourselves in the place, if we're trying to point to ourselves through signs and wonders, then we get into idolatry. As a matter of fact, you can invite the wrong entities in your life when you start becoming the focus of everything. It's a form of self-worship. So if you want to get well, if you want to get whole, you got to go higher than people, amen? Amen? And if a person is truly a servant of the Lord, a prophet of Christ, they're going to point you to the Lord, amen? Amen. Even the person who is sent by God does not represent themselves. Their purpose is to represent the one who sent them. Yeah. And so that's what we're about. We're here to present Christ to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Now, if we have received forgiveness, if we've received mercy, we've received grace from God, it's not just to consume it upon ourselves, but it's so that now we can go and when we've received something and pass it on to someone else. If we can learn how to get over ourselves, it's hard to do, isn't it, sometimes? Come on, we all struggle with it. Then God can entrust us with greater riches. We need to establish right priorities. And this is what this passage is talking about here in Matthew 6. Most of us are very familiar, but I want to look at this as a foundation for our message today. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature, make yourself taller? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Now they grow, they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry. I'd put a period right there. Stop. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Now listen, for after these things, all these things, the Gentiles seek. We are not to seek after stuff, things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. This is what he's trying to say right here. It's about all about priorities. Most of us can quote this very well. But there's a big difference between memorization and quotation and actualization. Amen? Living it out.
Yes.
So here, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his standard, and all these things shall be added to you. That's how it works in the kingdom. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There's enough trouble in each day, amen, that we face. And come on, isn't it true that we've all at times been preoccupied with worry or fear about tomorrow? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? The economy, the way things are in the world today, it's just kind of like, wow. If you're listening to the news, you can get the blues. I mean, if you're focused on what, you know, man is able to do for you, you're going to be hopeless. Because man is not going to be able to save your soul. And ultimately, it's God who is our provider. Amen. He is a father to his children. A father's purpose is to provide and to protect. So we come to our Father, and we know that he is. We know he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And those who will put him first in their lives, God says, I'm going to take care of the things that you need. But if you seek after stuff, you're getting things in the wrong order. And what happens is things become idols often. We put our faith, we put our trust in stuff. We put our faith in our bank accounts, if you have one. Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. He was called to cry out against that wicked city. Now Nineveh had oppressed, they had persecuted the nation of Israel and mistreated them. And God calls Jonah and says, now I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to cry out against that city and I want you to call them to repentance. And of course Jonah was like, wait a minute. If anything, I want to see them burn. So Jonah had, he thought, a better idea. And he fled to Tarshish instead. And so he thought that by running away from God, he could avoid his assignment. And as a result, things did not go well for him. Things are not going to go well for anyone who does not keep God as their number one priority.
Amen.
You will struggle. You may survive. You may even get rich, but you'll have many sorrows. You will struggle and you'll stress if you don't have God as your all in all, as your sufficient all in all. Amen?
That's right. Amen?
If you don't find your life in God, you're going to look for it in inferior things. Inferior things will never satisfy like the Lord will.
Right.
And so out of this heart of relationship with Him, out of an abiding union with Christ, out of this walk with Lord every day in the Spirit, we can have joy. Amen? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And as we seek Him first, He will give you directions. He will give you wisdom. He will give you an instruction.
Yes.
As to what to do to get wealth, to provide for your family. Amen? But He's not looking. And we should not just be coming to God for what we want all the time.
Right.
We should come to God because He's our Father and He wants us to be with Him. So when we call on the Lord, we are to make sure that we have things in order. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, it also talks about what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. As in heaven, so on the earth. What is it saying? My priority is the kingdom. My priority is God's priority. He's my priority in my life. He's the number one in my life. What is your kingdom What is your kingdom purpose for me? What is your will for me, Lord? This is the most important thing, that you and I, are you hearing me, are serving the Lord. That we are busy serving the King. Because if you don't get your priorities in order, you'll end up spending yourself on lesser things. And at the end of your life, you may have a lot to show in this world, but there's no U-Haul going to heaven. It's not going with you. The only thing that's going to last is what you did in obedience to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Like that old saying I used to have on my wall, one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Who are we going to live for? Who's going to be our priority? Whose kingdom is it? Amen? We are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. He, amen, is our King and we are part of His kingdom. And so as citizens of heaven, we've been allotted, amen, an amount of money, if you will. That's the Holy Spirit's investment in our lives with His gifts and talents for the purpose of promoting and advancing the kingdom of God on the earth till the time comes when Jesus returns. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right. So we're going to be held accountable for the investment that God has made in our lives. What are we doing with what we've received? Have we set the gifts and talents of the Lord aside so that we may pursue our own thing? Are we running away from our high calling? Are we running away from our assignment like Jonah tried to do? Because, yes, you may have some success for a season. How many know that Jonah thought he was getting away? Man, I'm on the boat. I'm out of here. Little did he know that God was not finished with him yet. And the Lord prepared a big fish, didn't he? Sometimes the Lord has to prepare a big fish for us too, to get us back on track. How many know it's God's mercy? God loved those people of Nineveh. He didn't want to see anybody perish. How many know God loves your enemies? That's why you're supposed to love them too. So being part of this invisible kingdom that doesn't fade away, we've got to labor, amen, for the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is never in vain. Whatever you're doing out of obedience to the Lord will be rewarded someday. Turn in your Bibles to Haggai. That's Old Testament. Go back, I think, about three books from Matthew to the left. Zechariah, four books, three books. That's right, three. Okay. Sometimes that's a good way to remember where they're at. Haggai, chapter 1. Now, the Jews had returned to the land after being in Babylonian captivity. And the building of the temple, the Lord's temple, had began to be completed, yet it sat for 10 years in an incomplete state. And so the Lord raises up this guy, Haggai, and his ministry was only like 4 months. But that was his assignment, that was his purpose, is to call the people back into engaging in completion of the work of the Lord, of the building of His temple. And thus speaks the Lord, verse 2 of hosts, saying, "This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Now, is this not typical of the church today, especially in America? It's awful quiet in here. We know what the Lord says. The Lord says, don't, you know, say the harvest is not. Now look upon the fields. They're already white under the harvest. And so we often make excuses. And how many know that doesn't fly with God? He's already given us an assignment. He's already commissioned us as His representatives on the earth to go in His name, amen, and to build His house. How do we build this house today? Amen. We're not building this house with stones that are hewn out by man. Amen. But we are building with lively stones, living stones made up of human beings. Amen. That make up the kingdom of God, His temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God has given us assignment to go out and to bring in, hallelujah, the people and build His house. Because what was happening is they were all running off to do their own thing. They were preoccupied with their own life. And he says, listen, verse 3, then the word of the Lord came to Haggai by the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What's going on? Misplaced priorities. God's not against you having houses. Amen. He's not against us having stuff. He's the one that provides stuff too. Things that we need. Now, hello? But back to Matthew 6:33. But we must first seek God and His kingdom. What is the will of God for my life? That's what I need to make a priority in my life. I need to be serving the Lord. Amen. Lord, what is my calling? What is my assignment? What should I do, Lord? I've asked you for enough stuff already. God, what can I do to bless you? What can I do to give back to you for all you've done to me? How many know that we owe Him our very lives? We are to present our bodies to Him, a living sacrifice. It's our reasonable service, Romans 12:1. And so he said, listen, in verse 6, consider your ways, verse 5, but verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. Has anybody ever felt that way?
Amen.
So he says, listen, consider your ways, in verse 8, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple. How many know that we need to go to God to receive what we need for the work? We need to go to the mountain of the Lord, amen? We need to go to His presence and build the temple, and that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. What is it? Misplaced priorities. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. You know why sometimes we are living in dry places? Why our lives are so dry and unfruitful? Sometimes, folks, it's because we're not in the will of God. Jesus was fulfilled by the will of His Father. He says, my meat is to do the will of my Father and to complete the work He gave me to do. If you want to be fulfilled in your life, discover who you are. Discover your purpose, your calling, and be busy about the things of God. And you'll find out that the things that will fill your soul like nothing else are the things that God has called you to do. I find my refreshing in ministry. Why? Because it's what I'm called to do. You are called to minister too. Your assignment may be your family. It may be where you work. It may be in Walmart when you're going through the store. Amen? But wherever we are bearers of His or carriers of His glory. And God wants us to dispense His glory wherever we go. He wants to reveal Himself to people. And as we go and we reveal Christ to people, then people will be drawn to Him. So we got to get our priorities straight, because if we don't, you're going to end up, you know, at the end of your life looking back and saying, well, what have I accomplished? I'm not here to try to make anybody feel guilty or miserable. I'm just telling you what's on my heart. What God tells me, that's what I say. You probably figured that out by now. But we don't want to look back at our life, amen, and say, I squandered what God gave me. I lived my life in vain. He gave me talent. He gave me abilities. He gave me an anointing. He invested His divine money, if you will, into me, that I might go and trade it and bear fruit, amen, that I might increase, that I might reproduce in the earth, that at the end of my life, I'll be able to present this to Christ and say, Lord, what you gave me, I brought back. Amen? And then some. Why do we do this? Because we love Him and we want to honor Him. So we've got to get out of this mentality of just receiving and yet not giving. Does anybody here know what happens when a person just eats all the time but they never move? Okay, I got to move a little bit more here, but how many know that spiritually we need to exercise? I don't know why I looked at Chuck when I said that, but actually Chuck is he's working on that one, isn't he? He's lost quite a bit of weight already. Yeah. And listen, this is not about the physical, okay? But we're talking about spiritually. When God makes an investment in us, it's always with purpose.
Yes.
Did God make an investment in you?
Yes.
What are you doing with that investment?
Getting better.
Not only are we receiving, not only are we being transformed, but we're also taking what we've received and we're sharing our bread. Amen? We share with others. And so here, in verse 10, he says, therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called, listen, he said, I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. You know, it's often God's mercy to allow things in our lives that bring us into a position where we start to get desperate. Okay. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, I think I said that right, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and with all the remnant of the people. I want you to look at verse 12. What did they do? And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something here. The first thing they did is they agreed with God. That's a smart thing to do.
Amen.
They said, Lord, okay, we recognize that we're not living for you. We're preoccupied with lesser things. We're allowing all this other stuff to rob us and to distract us away from your kingdom purposes being the number one priority. And because we recognize that, and Lord, we want to be found faithful to the end, we have decided from our hearts that we are going to obey you in this. And when you make a decision in your heart, then it will be manifested in your life. How many know it starts from the heart? We've all made intellectual decisions. Yeah, this time it's going to be different. How many have ever made your New Year's resolutions? But when you determine from your heart that you're going to follow through, you made up your mind, they had repented in their heart. That was the first thing that happened. Then, verse 13, Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people. What did the Lord say? I am with you. What did the Lord do? As soon as they set their heart to obey Him, and they meant it, the God knows the hearts, then the Lord sent a word of encouragement to the people to tell them that I'm going to be with you. How many have felt sometimes insecure in your walk because you weren't really sure if God is going to be with you? I know you're all too spiritual for that, but I've had that happen before. I've questioned sometimes the Lord's presence. I've looked at myself in my life. I said, I wonder if I've blown it with God or if God's mad at me right now. So if God's mad at me right now and I step out and I try to obey Him, He might not be with me, so I better play it safe and not do anything. Oh, no, nobody's ever thought that way before. How many know that's a lie? The Lord is with you. He's just waiting for you to say yes to obey. And so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and what did he do? The spirit of all the remnant of the people. Okay, what happened here? First, the Lord reassures them of his presence, right? Then the Lord promises something, right? He's going to be with them. I'm with you. Then what does he do? Once they made the decision to be obedient, then the Lord stirred up their spirits. How many realize that you must be stirred up in your spirit to be activated in the spirit? How many know that we don't have what it takes naturally to do the will of God? It's an act of grace. It's God's grace in your life, but His grace is released in your life when you come into agreement with Him. When we make up our mind that I am determined to make God my number one priority, that I'm going to serve Him, I'm going to serve His people, amen, I'm going to serve His church, I'm going to serve this community, I'm going to serve the people that I'm around, I'm going to serve my family. Husbands are going to serve their wives. Wives are going to serve their husbands. You're going to serve your children. Children are going to serve their parents. When we decide that we're going to obey God and we're going to be about His business, and that business is advancing His kingdom, amen, of bringing in the stones, bringing in those people who are out there that God has assigned you to. How many know there are people in your circle of influence that God has His hand on right now? And He's waiting for His people that He has assigned into that circle of influence to begin to reach out to these people and to begin to share with them the love of Jesus. Amen. There's one amen there. Okay. I know you're saying amen in your heart. So once they came into agreement with the Lord, then it says in verse 14 that the Lord stirred up the spirit, amen, of the people and the prophets, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. In this church, while we try to constantly focus on, if you will, dwell on, we try to keep the main thing, and that is this, that we are worshipers. Worshippers of God. Those who worship God in the Spirit are those who will have their spirit stirred by God. And those who have their spirits stirred by God will begin to desire to serve Him and serve others. In some cases where a people are not taught to worship, be worshipers of God, lovers of His presence, seekers of His presence, amen? Then they'll have to revert to other means of getting people to move, such as guilt and shame and manipulation. But when people worship God in the Spirit, when they draw near to God, when they call upon Him, when His Spirit touches our spirits are stirred, and those callings and those giftings begin to be revealed to us. And all of a sudden, we begin to desire to do certain things that God has put in us to do. Is it not God who works in us both to will and to do? Of His good pleasure. But that has to be stirred up. And how do you do that? By worship. It's through worship, prayer. Amen, Brother Phil? Amen. Those times of intimacy with the Lord. As He begins to turn the light on and begins to reveal to you who you are. What His plan is. What His eternal purpose is for your life. And you begin to desire now to serve. We've had people that just come out of the blue because they begin to worship God and seek after God. Just say, you know, I feel God's calling me to do this. I feel God's telling me to do this. And without anybody getting up here and saying, you know, we need people to do this. Sometimes we'll say that. But, you know, it's not going to be manipulation by man or guilt. We don't put anybody on a guilt trip here. No. But God will stir up in you a desire to reach out. Amen. Now, if you want to sit and soak and sour, that's up to you. If you want to shut down, if you don't want to be a worshiper, then you'll just stay in stagnation, in a place of deadness, and there won't be any life. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And how does that life come? It comes through Him. He is our life. So when we worship God, hallelujah, His life is just released in us. And all of a sudden, I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. I want to honor Him. Amen?
Amen.
I want to obey Him. So when the people determined that they're going to build the house of the Lord sent them a word of assurance that I'm going to be with you. And then He began to stir up their hearts to the degree that no longer were they giving Him lip service, but they actually set their hand to the plow. They actually began to do the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, in chapter 2, in the verse 1, in the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Now remember, Solomon's temple was the most glorious temple ever. And yet he says, Now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua. And be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Do you see that there has to be a cooperation? Do you see that we have to also take our will and submit it to His will? How many know that we're not robots, that God's just not got you on remote control, and you're just going to automatically do what He says? There has to be an agreement. And then He said, According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Why did He say that? Because sometimes we need the reassurance that God is with us. For thus says the Lord of hosts, Once more it is a little while, I will shake heaven and the earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations. How many know that's beginning to happen? And they shall come to the desire of all nations, Jesus Christ. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Whoa. He's talking about a latter temple. What kind of temple do you think He's talking about here, folks? The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, we don't have to worry about the source of the resources. God has it. Amen? The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. How many know that the former temple He's talking about, folks, is not a temple made by hands? Amen? Right? Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And that God is pouring out His glory, hallelujah, into this temple to make her beautiful.
Amen.
So that we might represent Him in the earth. So where are our priorities today? Jesus' heart is this. Pray for harvesters. Are you hearing this today?
Yes.
Are you a harvester? Are we harvesters here?
Yes.
Jesus said, pray for harvesters. Matthew 9:37. Then He said to His disciples, The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into His harvest. It's time to get busy. It is already given to us, amen, what we need. Amen. The investment has been made. The commission has been given. His Spirit has been sent. It's time for us to get busy. It's time for us to start building, hallelujah, the house of the Lord, folks. We're not building a temple made of hands here. We're not building our kingdom. We're building His temple.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
And we've got to be soul winners. We've got to be people that are reaching out to people. Amen? Because the Lord wants to be glorified in His people. The Lord is not willing that anyone should perish. The Lord is wanting all of us, amen, to come to repentance, to return to Him. For the blood on the altar, amen, speaks better than that of Abel. It speaks for mercy. God's, amen, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus shed His blood for the sins of the world, for human beings, amen, that they might be saved. It is our responsibility as followers of Jesus to represent Him in this earth and to draw men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And how many know that when we lift up Jesus Christ, when we boast on our God, when we give praise to our God, when we talk about all the good things that God has done for us, hallelujah, how many know that people want to know that there's some hope in this world? Amen. Amen. But when they see the people of God walking around with a long face and dejected and looking down and their lives are all messed up, why? Because they got their priorities out of order in most cases. Because we're not truly seeking God and His kingdom first. We're seeking after stuff. We're seeking after these things that God said, I'll give you. All you got to do is seek me. Put me first and I'll take care of it. Hallelujah. You may not ever have a yacht, but it doesn't matter, because what matters is that we have been found faithful at the end of our journey. One day, every man, woman, boy, and girl throughout history, amen, will stand before the King of Kings. One day, the books will be opened, and those things that had been written in there will be revealed. We all have a book, folks. It's called Your Life. This was your life. And at the end, we're going to stand before the Lord, and He's going to look to see, this is my investment in you. I had mercy on your soul. I saved you. Now what did you do with the investment I made that you might also go and bring others to me? Are you hearing me today?
Yes.
Are we willing, like the people in Haggai's day, are we willing to really commit ourselves? I want you to hear this, to this work here. How many know, folks, it's not going to happen if we just come to church? I want you here. We're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be together. We need fellowship. We need encouragement. We need to worship together. That's all good. But it's not going to happen, folks, if we're all just about that. We've got to be soul winners. We've got to be reaching out. We've got to be inviting people. We should be deliberately inviting people every week. God help me as well. Are we going to be faithful to the Lord? Are we going to be about His business? Are we truly going to make His kingdom our priority? Because if you don't make God and His kingdom your priority, then you're going to end up wasting the valuable time you have on this earth. And even though we may have many accomplishments and we may have natural things, you know, that are stuff that we've accumulated through our lives, folks, I want you to know I lived 4 years. And I worked among people in an old folks' home. Forgive the expression, but it was, whatever you want to call it, it was an assisted living facility. And you had people there from every walk of life. You had people there from all denominational backgrounds, some with no experience at all. Some didn't know God. Some did. You had people that were dirt poor. You had people that were very rich, all living in the same place. And I want you to know that most of them, all they had left was 3 hots and a cot. At the end of their life. And the only thing that was going to have any eternal value are those people that had given themselves for the work of the Lord to build His house that He might be glorified in it in that day. It's all, folks, we're all heading there very quickly. We're heading to that place where we're going to see Jesus. I'm calling us as a church, as a congregation, today to make up your mind, to make a decision if you're going to follow the Lord or not. Otherwise, we can just come and we can just ask and come to our divine, if you will, sugar daddy, and just say, give me more, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But God is saying, what are you doing with what I've already given you? We ask God, God, fill me with power, fill me with the Holy Spirit. What, just so we can have goosebumps and speak in tongues? Come on, we receive the power of God so that we can be a witness, amen? We can demonstrate, and it's a fun thing to do. It's joyful, it's fun to serve the Lord. To see the glory of God, to see the power of God manifested, amen? And see somebody healed or somebody set free? God's put an investment in you. Are you a believer today? Do you have the Spirit of God in you today? Hallelujah. God wants to release that from you. Hallelujah. It's not just for the super evangelist or the super apostle. Hello. It's for you and I, the body of Christ. We are citizens of heaven representing the kingdom government of heaven on the earth. So, it's time to get busy. Time to get busy. Consider your ways, the Lord says. Have you been faithful? Are you faithful? Folks, it's not about me here today. I'm asking you to ask yourself that question. Have I been faithful? Better yet, ask the Lord. Lord, have I been faithful to you? Would you just take a moment maybe with me and bow your heads and ask Jesus right now. Maybe you're unsure today. Maybe you don't really know what your purpose is. Maybe you don't know why I'm here. I hear all the time people say, I know I have a purpose, otherwise I wouldn't still be here. I hear people say that for years. I hear people in their last days saying, well, God has a purpose for me. But what a shame it is if a person is always asking that question or always making that comment and saying, yes, God has a purpose for me, but never really knowing what that purpose is. How many know the only way you're going to know your purpose is to really seek His face? Amen. Is to really draw near to God and hear what He's got to say. Ask the Lord right now. Say, Lord, show me. Show me the way. Open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart that I may know who I am and what my purpose is and how I can be a builder. How I can be a part of your body. What is my assignment, Lord? You got people on the front lines. You got people who pray. You got people who give. You have people who serve. You have people who are evangelists. You have prophets. You have all these giftings. God is going to give you clear direction if you will seek Him and ask Him. Why? Because it's His desire that none perish. And that you and I together would be about building His kingdom and not our own. Another decision you're going to have to make today is this. Is this just going to be another message? Just another message? Or is it going to be a change? Is there going to be repentance today? Am I going to make up my mind that I'm no longer going to waste any more of my life living in vanity? Living for just things that will not satisfy? Living just for things that are temporal? But I want to live eternal. I want to live with my perspective in heaven. I want to live from that place where I'm seated with Christ. I want to know the heart. I want to know the mind of Christ, that I may know the things that are freely given me. And the only way you're going to know that is to be a worshiper. You must draw near to God. Don't say the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. If you and I don't get a vision of heaven, folks, of eternity here, then we'll end up being like so many churches that just spin around in a circle. And eventually they just lose their life because there's no vision. I believe right now as I'm speaking that God has been speaking to some of you. In fact, while I was speaking this morning, God was speaking to some of you. God is calling some of you even to commit to this work here. We need servants. We need helpers. We need people to serve at the church even. Well, we need to all pull together and do our part. That's important. We're going to be having outreaches this summer. We're going to need people to be a part of that. We pull together. Amen. There's nothing more important than the work of the Lord. There's nothing more important. There's no greater priority than the kingdom of God. Would you say yes right now in your heart to the Lord? Commit yourself to seek Him, to hear Him, to agree with Him, to obey Him, and allow the Lord to stir up your spirit. Some of you already this morning, God has stirred up your spirit. And I know God is calling you, some of you out today that you're going to commit. You need to commit to this work here. This is your assignment. You need to be committed here. You need to be part of this. Hallelujah. It's not for just a few people. It's for all of us. I want to see this thing turned around. They say 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Hallelujah. Let's turn that thing around. Amen?
Amen.
How about 80 to 100%? We're all engaged. We're all involved. We're all doing something to help the cause of Christ, not only here, but in our families, in our community, in our world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.